Everybody wanted one, so we're delighted to see you. Thank you, Jane, for the word of welcome for Minta and myself. And I want to say a special appreciation to the church staff who've been so welcoming this week as we're getting underway for this two-month interim period. And the welcome we've already received this morning before the service and during the week from others as well. We give you thanks for that. We are delighted to be here to serve with you for this two-month interim period. This in-between time, if you will, we might call it, this in-between the moving of your beloved pastor Sheila and the arrival of your new pastor, Bobby Ellisor. I know it's always difficult to say goodbye to a beloved pastor. It's always a hard thing. It works both ways in that regard, congregation and pastor, because I know that Pastor Sheila found a home here as your pastor. She's a long-term friend of ours, and I'm so glad you had the opportunity to know her and to be blessed by her gifts and graces and her exuberant joy, which seemed to overflow every time I was around her anyway. And I know she's been so blessed by you to have the privilege and opportunity to serve with you for the past 3 years. You know, as our itinerant pastors, you have to make home wherever you are. And you learn to do that pretty quickly. And you made a home for us years ago when we moved here in 1993 and served for 7 years. You made it like home for us, and thank you for that, and you're already making it home again, and that's greatly appreciated. So thank you. And I would simply say, please call on me or any of us who serve here if we may be of service to you at any time. Please call on us. Well, it is Mother's Day, as we're all very much aware of. I noted that it's also one of the Sundays in May is known as Rural Life Sunday. And it's Mental Health Month this month. It's Older American Month. It's Better Sleep Month. So I was thinking this morning, if you're an older mother raised in the country who has trouble sleeping and perhaps a few mental health issues, this is your month. So I'm so aware that Mother's Day brings with it a variety of emotions. It brings feelings of gratitude and joy and love. It might bring some emotions of hurt and disappointment, of sadness. A variety of emotions come forth on Mother's Day. And we represent a variety of family configurations, single parents with children, or single persons with children, single persons. We represent couples with children, couples without children, blended families, step families, sandwich families, they're called. All kinds of family configurations that we bring to this day. Yet as I was thinking about it, I thought we're all engaged in one common quest, and that is the making of home, homemaking. At some level or another, we are engaged in seeking to make home, whatever our age or stage or circumstance, wherever we are on this journey of life. We want it to be a home-like experience, I submit. And as the church, we're on the same quest. We're seeking to make church a home life experience for all who brighten these doors. A place we can call home, an experience that we know as a home-making experience. For those of us who come and for everyone who might join us. When we were here back in the 90s, Cokesbury was about the business of seeking to make home for a variety of people.
And I sense that's the same, still going on, still a part of the life and ministry, still a part of the culture of this church, such an important part. So on this Mother's Day, I would invite you to focus with me for our time together on the broader concept of home and homemaking, particularly as we find it spoken of in our scripture today. I'm reading from John's Gospel, from the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 18, then verse 23. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." This is the word of God for all of God's creation. Thanks be to God. I can tell you the verse that caught my attention as I studied this passage is Jesus' words, "We will come," speaking of he and God, "we will come and make our home with them." God would come and dwell within them. Jesus will go away but not leave his disciples orphaned, which was a word, by the way, used in those days to describe disciples who had lost their master, their teacher. He will not leave them orphaned. In fact, he would send another advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to abide with them, to live within them, and to live through them. God has not left us orphaned, you see. For he comes to make a home within us as well, to be with us, to live in us, to live through us. He's not left us to our own devices. I'm curious this morning, what comes to mind when you think of home? Just that word, or homemaking. What comes to mind? Is it a place? Is it family? Is it a community like the church? Is it an experience? What comes to mind? Across the years of ministry, I had the privilege of going on a lot of mission trips, not only in country, but a lot of out of country trips, from Mexico to Ecuador to Cameroon, West Africa. While we were here at Cokesbury, we did several trips to Mexico, actually, down to the state of Puebla, east of Mexico City, and we never knew exactly where we were going to lay our head at night. I remember one time we slept on the roof, the flat roof of someone's home. Another time we slept on the dirt floor of the church that was under construction with no roof on it. We slept in a variety of places. We found that people would turn their finest place in the house to sleep over to us. In one place we went, four of us were invited to go to this couple's home. They turned over two bedrooms to us, and we simply thought when they said goodnight, they went into their bedroom, but we found out the next day they went to the barn, and they slept in the barn, and that's where they slept all week, turning over their home to us. I tell you, that's when that Mexican traditional saying, "Mi casa es su casa," really hit home, you know. It really spoke to us because they literally turned over their home to us. Because they wanted us to be at home. So when I think of home, I can't help but think of mi casa es su casa. What do you think of when you think of? I also think of our gatherings around my mother's dinner table as we were growing up. And over the years, as long as she was living, for special occasions, When I think of home, I think of that place and that experience, particularly of being around that table and sharing our stories, sharing our hurts, our disappointments, our joys, just sharing life together. And it was a place I always knew I could bring someone home with me if I were coming home. I didn't have to call ahead and say, by the way, I've got somebody coming. I could just show up with them. It was that kind of, it was always a, you know, room for one more. It was just that kind of place. We were there for one of those occasions, those special occasions, some years after we'd all grown up. We were all back home for a Thanksgiving or something, and my dad and I were sitting in our living room, and they had one of those storm doors that was just glass, and this little girl came to the door, and she looked in, kind of looked that way. My dad just told her to come on in, and she didn't say a word. She walked straight to the kitchen. We could hear some fumbling around in the kitchen. She walked out with a handful of cookies. I said, Dad, who was that? He said, I don't know. Said it was just one of the kids in the neighborhood. She knew where home was. It was a place you could come and get all the cookies you wanted. You didn't have to call ahead. You didn't have to do anything. You just had to come in and help yourself. When I think of home, I remember that little girl who made home, right? Even though my dad did not know her name. One more thing I think about home, and I'll move on. I won't keep you here too long. But I couldn't help but think of this either as I was thinking about home. Our son always went barefoot when he was growing up. And wherever he went, it was not uncommon for him to take his shoes off pretty quickly. And then when he came home, he might leave them. So many times we went to collect shoes. He always had a way, wherever he went, though, of making himself at home. And I thought of him as I thought about home and taking your shoes off. That kind of place, you know what I mean? Whenever I think of home in relation to the church, I think of a congregation, a church family, if you will, of open hearts, open minds, open doors, an experience, an atmosphere of radical hospitality and welcome, an very extension of God's love and grace and mercy toward everyone, whoever brightens these doors. In fact, on our church website, we say it, no matter what you believe or doubt, no matter how you feel, no matter where you come from, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. It's where you can come and sit around and talk and visit and share your story. It's where we can rejoice together and we can weep together. We can do life together. We can just be and we can just live. Together. It's where you can sit around this congregational dinner table, if you will. It's where you can come and take your shoes off because you know you can be at home right here. What do you think of when you think about home? Now, notice there are a few hats, and as I understand it, on Mother's Day, some hats are provided, and you're invited to wear a hat if you would so like, so desire. So I can't help but think of a pastor writing about an experience they had in their church of one of their children who contracted cancer and had to have treatments, and as a result lost all of her hair. So the first Sunday she could come back after the treatments, he said she wore a hat on her head, and it was not their custom at all. No one wore hats, you know, like we don't typically. But she wore a hat that Sunday, and she had a good friend. The two of them always sat close to the front in the church sanctuary. And her friend decided, I know my good friend's going to be wearing a hat, and she may feel uncomfortable or out of place, so I'll wear a hat. So her friend sat next to her. that Sunday wearing a hat. So the two little girls are sitting down there in worship wearing a hat. She certainly made her friend feel so much better. The pastor said, you know, the next Sunday, there were a few more people wearing hats. And he said, every Sunday, more hats, until there was this sea of hats across the sanctuary, all because they wanted that little girl, to know she was at home. She was at home. And she could wear a hat. And they'd wear one too, just to let her know how much they wanted to encourage her, how much they loved her, how much they wanted to gather around her, how much they wanted her to be loved and supported. You see, what I understand is that God is in the home-making business, not simply in us, but He would compel us to be in the home-making business as well, making home for others. I just wonder, I can't help but wonder, how many orphans are out there? That is, those who feel disconnected, separated, lost, alone, who do not have the experience of home, who perhaps are hurting or hopeless or sick or weak or broken or despairing or purposeless, who need a home, who need a place where they can be at home. They need that experience. God would come and make a home with us, the scripture says. That applies to all of us. It applies to all of creation. We become the vehicles of that making home, you see. I loved reading on Facebook recently of First United Methodist Church of Atmore, Alabama, in southeast Alabama, a town about 5,000 or 6,000 maybe, a stable, thriving kind of community. Pastor indicated that the church is going to receive a family from Ukraine who've been displaced, who've lost their home to war. The family consists of a couple and, I believe, two children and one on the way. Plus, they're bringing with them 9 orphans. So that church is going to sponsor this family to find a new home in a whole new world. And I can just see that community, not simply the church, but the whole community reaching out to them and bringing them in. Can you see that? And saying, we want you to be at home. What can we do? How can we? God's come to make a home with us. How can we extend God's love and grace and mercy and support to you and welcome you in to the family, welcome you into this town, welcome you into this church? I just can't help but wonder what orphans are out there right here where we live, where we go every day, who would love to know there's a place they can call home, and there's a community, and there's a church, and there's an experience that they can call home right here. We're called to be in the homemaking business, not simply receive God's love and grace, but share it with one another and with this community. For there's a lot of brokenness and sickness that needs healing, sorrow that needs comforting, despair that needs hope, hatred that needs love, evil that needs goodness, fear that needs faith, aimlessness that needs purpose, hurt that needs forgiveness, turmoil that needs peace, death that needs life. Maybe even we have some brokenness. Maybe even we have some sorrow. Maybe we have some despair. Maybe we have some hurt. What about us? Jesus was telling his disciples he would be leaving. But he said, I won't leave you orphaned. I'm not going to do that to you. I'll be leaving, but I'll send another advocate, indeed the Holy Spirit. And they would come and make a home within us and bring healing and hope and love and grace for us and for all of creation. We're compelled to join God in this homemaking business. I was reminded as I was preparing for this day that we're still in the season of Easter. Now, Easter gets in the rearview mirror pretty quickly. You know, once it's over, and we move on, sort of. That was just 3 weeks ago. And in the life of the church, in our church calendar, we celebrate Easter for 50 days. We're in the season of new life. And really what God brings, you see, at the heart of what God brings when God comes home with us is life. God brings life. Life abundant and life eternal. We're reminded death doesn't have the final word. The final word is from God, and that word is life. Life now and life forever. God comes in Jesus and through His Holy Spirit to be with us right now, where we are, whatever our age or stage or circumstance, He comes to make home with us, to give us life, to make us new, to transform us, to make us more and more of the persons He's created us to be, more and more of the church He has created and calls us to be. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, thank you for making home with us. Thank you for coming through Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to move into our lives and stir in us and nudge us and guide us and direct us, fill us with your love and grace, and use us on your behalf. Thank you for making home here. Thank you for making home through us. So challenge us now. So lead us now. So guide us now. As we find ourselves every day in the making home, the homemaking business. Thank you for new life in Christ. Thank you for making all things new in and through us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.